Mayday, mayday. Anyone copying Channel 9?
PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to the bunker. It's the 1st of May.
Mayday! Mayday!
It's May.
Mayday! Yes, we did a program last year about Beltane and all that other stuff, so we won't go down that road tonight.
We don't need to repeat that. You guys know all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know the whole maypole thing and what that really means.
Yeah.
And if you don't, well, go listen to the archives.
That's right. I want to say happy birthday to one of our listeners and a supporter, Von Glitchka. Out in the great Northwest, he's celebrating his... That's further north.
Oh, that's way north, sorry.
Yeah, although once the CFR has its way, it won't, you know, that border will disappear, so we can do that. He's celebrating his 40th birthday today.
Ah,
yes,
40.
The big
40 on May Day.
Mm-hmm, yeah, although he did say that he did not plan on dancing naked around the maypole, so...
At least
we have that mental image that we don't have to consider.
I know. I'm glad I don't have that because, you know, I've got so many other things. Rush Limbaugh, I don't know. Earlier, Derek and I were watching the news,
yeah.
Fox keeps running the Anna Nicole Smith story.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than just show her walking into the Supreme Court from about a month ago, no, they have to show her lounging, you know, seductively.
Writhing
on a bed.
The appropriate verb.
It is indeed.
Yeah. And then, of course,
which has nothing to do with the story, of course.
No.
And then, of course, we tune over to MSNBC, and when they run the story, they, of course, just run the footage where she goes into the Supreme Court. Very, you know, mm-hmm. appropriate to the story, not trying to slip in any seductive material.
Right.
And then they go to a story about Rush Limbaugh, and I said, well, you never see Rush writhing on a bed.
Where's the picture of Rush on the bed with the cigar?
Well, now that we've poisoned your minds.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, as we approach the month of June and the date 6-6 of 06, we are going to feature a month's worth of interviews that deal with end time prophecy.
More than a month.
We're going right into June. So we're going to take up the next 5 weeks and perhaps longer if the material warrants. And we've got some great guests lined up for this month. We just confirmed with David Flynn, and we'll be talking with him later in the month. Tom Horn, Rick Wiles, mm-hmm. Ken Parsons, and... perhaps some others.
Yeah, we've got lots of people that we're planning to put in there as soon as we hear back confirmation mm-hmm. that they can come in. David Flynn, by the way, we just, to prepare you for this, plan on having your head explode at least 10 times.
Yeah.
Perhaps to the power of 10.
That's right. Study up on your mathematics because it's if you haven't heard the interview that we did with David Flynn last year about the prophetic implications of the 1947 UFO crash at Roswell, New Mexico. Go back and listen to that,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have an idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
He makes some astounding connections.
In fact, you know, I'm very pleased to say that the people that we have on this show coming up over the next 5 or 6 weeks, they are taking a look at prophecy mm-hmm. from a fresh perspective.
Yeah.
We may not always agree with every one of them all the time. In
mm-hmm.
fact, most of our listeners are probably going to, at times, say, well, that's the most made-up thing I've ever heard.
That is true.
But you'll have to contend that it is a fresh look at it.
That's
and
right.
I think that's what we really need right now because there are traditions mm-hmm. among prophecy scholars that are almost sacred cows.
Yeah, and you have to start with your analysis of prophecy by laying the groundwork and understanding why you believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe because that's your interpretation of how it's explained in Scripture and how Scripture fits together, or do you believe it because you heard somebody tell you at some point along the road without ever challenging those assumptions? Now, we're not saying that the assumptions and all of the traditional ways of looking at prophecy are wrong.
No.
Certainly not. We're just saying it's an important topic. In fact, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, it says that whoever reads the book will be blessed. So even if you don't agree with the conclusions of some of our guests coming up over the next 5 weeks, getting into the topic material and studying it will be a blessing, mm-hmm. regardless of what conclusions you reach. So it's worth doing. So, oh, before we dig into the news, I want to thank William G. Jones. Yeah, give him a shout out. His personal blog, he does an excellent podcast for Christian writers called mm-hmm. Writing for Christians.
Yes, he does.
But he's got a personal blog at C4L, which is Christians for Life, C4LOnline.com. And this week I am the featured interview at C4LOnline.com.
Well, honey, I think that's great. I would have interviewed you every day. In fact, I do.
Well, that's true. And what makes this show go so smoothly, aww. As we're so, you know, practiced at it.
You know, we want to thank him for that. Also, we want to shout out to our friends in Champaign, Illinois.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. We met some wonderful friends, new friends that are listeners, and some new friends that aren't listeners yet, or at least I think maybe they are listeners now.
Well, they might be listening to this tonight, but we met, had some wonderful Middle Eastern food at a little Lebanese cafe, and boy, I haven't had hummus that good in a long, long time.
It was incredible.
Wonderful tabbouleh. If you want the name of the place, if you're in the St. Louis area, email us, radio@peeringintodarkness.com, and we'll be happy to tell you, because it's amazing, homemade,
right.
fresh.
That is right. So Eric and Bethany, hello.
Yes, and thank you.
So much fun to meet you and all your friends.
Well, the big news, of course, on all the cable channels today was depending on which channel you looked at, they gave it a different name. And of course, they've all got to have a splashy graphic for it, you know.
The Mayday Walkout.
Yeah,
the
Mayday Walkout, the Great American
Boycott
or what have you. Here in St. Louis, we didn't see it so much because, as we've mentioned before, we don't have that large a Latino population in St. Louis.
No, and frankly, you and I aren't downtown. When we
that's
say
true.
We live in St. Louis,
that's true.
We don't live in St. Louis.
Yeah, we're
we
a
live
good
in
chunk.
St. Louis County.
Yeah, we're a good ways outside the
which
city.
Which is a big county.
it is. So we didn't see what actually happened downtown St. Louis, but just from the conversations around the office and the local news radio that I managed to catch during the day, I didn't hear much talk about things happening locally.
No.
But elsewhere, Los Angeles, Chicago, some of the other bigger cities, quite a few demonstrations. And
San Diego, they closed down the border.
There was a protest that closed down the crossing at San Diego. And you know, again, we just think that there are forces that are behind the protest. I mean, the questions that the reporters should be asking that they aren't when we watch them on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, when you see this huge crowd and they're waving all of these big flags that all are in pristine condition.
Expensive
who paid
flags.
Those aren't cheap. Those aren't cheap. To buy a big flag like that.
Big flag. Those
who
are
paid
$20,
for
$30 a piece.
Yeah. Who paid for all the flags? Who coordinated all of this? We discussed the last round of protests and marches, and
mm-hmm.
you know, clearly the Spanish language media was mm-hmm. involved in it. There was a very good point that was made that I heard earlier today. In some markets, you had conservative talk show hosts working for because there's only like three companies in the radio business anymore.
Yeah.
You know, Clear Channel, Entercom, and Emmis, and Clear Channel. And between them, they own about, 9,000 radio stations in the United States. So there were some markets where literally you would have one AM talk radio station with a conservative host ranting and raving about how dare these illegals come out and march in our streets, where across the hall, their Spanish language station was telling people where to go and what time to be there.
Well, you know, it's not just the humans behind all this, because clearly there are human beings behind this.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, who's buying the flags? Who's printing the posters?
Right.
There are professionally printed posters that have been handed out mm-hmm. to many of these marchers. And, you know, we have to look, too, at the spiritual battle that's going on behind this. We're looking at prophecy all the next 5-6 weeks, and nearly everyone who has studied prophecy mm-hmm. knows that in the end times, there's going to be a mark.
Yes.
And many people believe that that mark may have something to do with the radio frequency ID tags
mm-hmm.
that are so popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have taken under their skin for various reasons to get into bars and for personal ID. Dogs and cats carry them.
Sure.
an easy solution out of all of this chaos,
mm-hmm.
an orderly way of dealing with the chaos,
mm-hmm.
would be to verify everyone's nationality,
mm-hmm.
their citizenship, and tag them.
Yep. You can't get a tag if you can't verify that you're an American citizen. And beyond a certain date, if you don't have the tag, you can't get a driver's license, you can't vote, you can't...
You have no access to services.
No access to services. You show up at a hospital and you can't produce your... If you don't have a workable tag under your skin...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this would be how it would be introduced.
Yep. Yep. So look for that kind of stuff, because the humans that are behind all of this,
mm-hmm.
are very much into order out of chaos.
Right.
So they're going to use this situation to control people.
Mm-hmm. So we will keep an eye on that story. Of course, another prophetically significant part of the world is the Middle East, and we watch the developments over there very closely.
Mm-hmm.
A story that kind of got buried by the news of the great American boycott today was the news that Iran has been accused of and has denied sending troops into Iraq to chase down Kurdish rebels.
That's true. And, you know, another really interesting thing about this is Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
has come out and called for splitting the country up into three ethnic regions.
Now, we talked about that just recently,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to try to find that story, because I remember very clearly reading that that it's always been the secret plan,
mm-hmm.
to divide Iraq into three regions, mm-hmm. a Kurdish autonomous zone, a Sunni zone, and a Shiite zone,
mm-hmm.
and giving each of them autonomy over those regions under the protectorship of their American masters. It's clear we're not going anywhere with a humongous embassy, which is 10 times larger than any other embassy we've got, and totally self-sufficient from the rest of the country. So we're going to stay there for something, and assuming that we're going to play some role in the government is a pretty safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, interesting that it's coming from a Democrat, because you are less likely to assume or accuse the government of planning this, mm-hmm. all along.
It's coming from a powerful Democrat.
Joe Biden
is, yep. a powerful man in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, let's go to some of our favorite kind of news, you know, the technical news, the geeky stuff.
Yes.
The Japanese have come out with some interesting inventions lately. You were talking about the networking, just going through electrical wiring.
Yeah, yeah. Matsushita, which is the company that's behind the Panasonic brand name, has developed a chip that would allow any appliance or any computer to be connected to an Ethernet work, or a computer network, through the AC wiring in the home.
Plug in, you're on the internet.
Exactly. And you can connect a refrigerator, mm-hmm. a washing machine, a microwave.
You can start your dishwasher from the office.
Yeah, exactly. It would all be connected via, mm-hmm. the AC power. They can actually route signals through the AC lines faster than through Ethernet cables.
Now, that sounds wonderful, does it?
It does.
But it means that other people could do the same thing to your appliances as well.
It means
and
that because...
they can listen into everything you do.
Exactly. Because your AC grid of your home is connected to the power grid, which is connected to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this handy little, you know, 20-inch, mm-hmm. iMac that we've got with a built-in camera,
mm-hmm.
could be sending a live feed to whoever.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Oh, yeah. It could be, well, I noticed that, boy, she's consuming an awful lot of soda today. She's not supposed to have that. Her doctor told her she can't have that.
Yeah.
I see that exercise machine hasn't been turned on. You know, that treadmill hasn't, uh-huh. been turned on in 3 weeks. According to our records, she's supposed to be doing this 3 times a week. Now, you may laugh when you hear that, but doctors, there's a story on Watcher Today that pediatricians are being told now to keep track of the exercise program of kids and of the parents. And
really?
They're to rat on them.
Really?
Yes.
So kids who come in and there are a certain percentage of their body weight above normal, mm-hmm. could be reported for
abuse? I think the parents could be reported for child abuse.
Huh. Now, think about the implications, though, having your home wired into a network and then having that network connected to the rest of the world all the time, mm-hmm. going to your fridge and finding that the door won't open. I'm sorry, Mr. Gilbert, you've exceeded your caloric intake for the day.
But I need some coffee, Kramer.
We're sorry, Mr. Gilbert, you've exceeded your caffeine intake for the day. You go into the living room, sit down to turn on the television. We're sorry, Mr. Gilbert, but it's past your allotted, bedtime. You are scheduled for rest now.
You go to Krispy Kreme and I hardly ever eat Krispy Kremes, but I do love them, so I talk about them because, you go to Krispy Kreme and you slide your card through there or you wave your hand.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Gilbert, but you can't have these. You're on a low-fat diet.
Yeah, exactly. And these are the sorts of privacy issues that need to be considered mm-hmm. when we think about how convenient it would be to be able to just, take your computer from point A to point B in the house without having to rewire the Ethernet cable or make sure that you've got an Ethernet signal.
Exactly. And the reason I bring all this up is because there's a story on Watcher Magazine today about a new cell phone.
Okay.
This cell phone is able to access all of your digital information by reading barcodes.
Oh, okay.
If you see a poster for a new movie, scan the barcode, and you instantly are able to get tickets to go see it.
Oh, that's pretty slick.
Yes.
But, of course, you've got to be sending a signal about that somewhere, and, of course, be easy to track mm-hmm. what you're doing and who you're... Yeah.
Well, it's this kind of... a consolidation of everything centering around our need to buy. And again, that takes us back to scripture mm-hmm. where it says you can neither buy nor sell without the mark. We Americans love to buy.
Mm-hmm. We are a consumer society.
We are indeed. We have moved away from this manufacturing society or the society where we actually generate consumer goods. Mm-hmm. No, we're the consumers. We're the end users
right.
of nearly everything that's made in the world.
Yeah, and there are certain countries that are basically pulling themselves out of, up to a new level economically because of our willingness to consume, China mm-hmm. in particular.
Yes.
Speaking of electronics and privacy, we talked a couple of weeks ago about a lawsuit that's been filed against AT&T. Because AT&T yes. was routing all of his internet traffic through the National Security Agency for spying purposes. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, the United States government intends to invoke a rarely used state secrets privilege
no.
to quash the lawsuit.
What a surprise.
Yeah. Legally, this is the equivalent of the nuclear bomb. Yeah, this is the nuclear option. The Electronic Frontier Foundation had filed a lawsuit to find out how big this program was and force AT&T to basically, turn over its records to the public and say, so that we would know how much of what we have been doing on the internet has been routed through NSA's servers. The federal government intends to put a stop to it. The invoking this privilege does not confirm or deny the existence of the program and doesn't, basically, it doesn't admit to any wrongdoing on the part of the United States government, mm-hmm. but it says that by bringing this into open court, we might divulge some secrets that we don't want divulged. So we're just going to quash the whole thing. So keep that in mind once again when taking advantage of the latest handy-dandy electronic communications devices.
Well, we could just go on and on. And normally on Mondays we would, but... For those of you who are waiting for the continuation of our blather, we must disappoint because we have lots and lots of great interviews coming up for the next 5 weeks. So we are going to do something unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to begin. Basically, we're just going to go to an interview every night. We're going to try to squeeze in more interview, more content.
That's just insane.
Yep.
How do they do it? Volume, volume, volume. Well, we're going to go right to our first interview for the month of May. This is a gentleman you've heard many other times on here and other radio stations. And you know what? I don't think you can get enough of Russ Dizdar. So we're going to go to part one where he's talking about not just multiples, but we're also going to get into this interview with him over the next few days. We're going to talk about the Black Awakening.
Pleased to welcome back to our guest line, Pastor Russ Dizdar of Shadow of the Darkness Ministries, who's one of our favorite people and leading a life that's a lot more interesting than I want mine to be, I think.
Interesting? Oh, boy, is that a word to describe it. Russ, how are you doing? Well, we're doing pretty good. A lot of pressures around us right now just because there's a lot of irons in the fire and a lot of individuals and victims and just a lot of cases that we're working on all at one time. And we're feeling some heat. But other than that, we're also seeing some tremendous victories in the healing and deliverance of, you know, mind control victims and others.
Well, you know, I, at the risk of sounding cliche, you put heat on something, you can really do some refining. I mean, that's how you get gold. So that may be what you're going through. But, you know, you're doing a work. You are standing up against darkness that we only peek at. We peer at
peer
it.
Peer into the darkness, yeah. There has been a lot of darkness out there in the news of late. And one of the areas that you've talked about before that we've discussed here on this program centers on Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Right.
I wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit because some of the stories coming out of this area, which looking from the outside appears to be this scenic pastoral area of rolling hills and well-manicured farms.
The movie Witness.
The
we'll
movie
think
Witness.
About that.
Right. Yeah. The heart of Amish country. And yet, over the last year, there have been some really bizarre things that have taken place there. Of course, we talked about the young man David Ludwig, who killed his girlfriend's parents. We had the woman who filed a lawsuit against her psychologist for recovering memories of satanic ritual abuse or helping her to recover those memories. And most recently, of course, the young man, Jesse D. Wise, who killed six members of his family. And then, according to police, a story I'm looking at just today, went out shopping after he did that. What is it now? And Leola, Pennsylvania, and Lititz, Pennsylvania, where these events took place, are less than 10 miles apart.
Sure. Well, see, you have a part in all of this. You really do, because when we discussed this sometime back, we have a map. You know, I got access right behind me on Pennsylvania that we've been, we over 10 years, we've been praying and we've been into certain cities and tracking down why there is so much satanic ritual abuse and coven stuff and brotherhood, you know, stuff coming out of Pennsylvania. And so we've been tracking it for a long time, even getting military grid maps and things like that. So when you shared about the psychiatrist and what occurred there, it bugged me. So I put it on the prayer mat. We prayed hard about it. And Derek and Sharon, I got a call from some Christians there that wanted me to come there to help with a victim and to meet another a satanic ritually abused person that had, you know, the split personalities and everything, too. And so we arranged a trip. Somebody sent me the funds. But I didn't have any – I usually have people go with me. This time it was all alone. So I got in the car from Ohio, you know, and I'm driving through Pennsylvania, this tremendous six-hour drive, and I cannot tell you how many times I just broke out in tears and prayed for that state and thought about all the victims and the kids in approaching Lancaster, and then going to these people's house and ministering to one girl. The other girl would never talk to me for 2 days in a row, that this other multiple that's was infiltrating churches and really messing some things up. She would not talk to me at all or return the calls. They wanted me to go down to the University of Delaware to meet another person, which I did twice. And this person had a background as far as, you know, some things that happened the same way, mind control and SRA stuff. And that got completely shut down. So I decided to go home. And we spent a lot of time in prayer mapping and praying there. And I thought, no, I can't. I'm going to call this psychiatrist again. I know he doesn't know me. I put in calls before. He never returned them. And I'm just going to tell him who I am and you know, that I care about him, that we've been praying. So I did that again, left a message. And I thought, I'm going to stay over again another night at a hotel. And I just waited. I got right outside of Lancaster. And the next day I got back up, drove back through Lancaster. I prayed to the city, incredible city, down in Lititz, where this victim took me also to the church buildings where she was abused. And I was standing on the corner at a light where she was showing me this church and this building and everything else and all the stuff. And she's doing really good right now. I just got a note back the other day. But on the way home, I said, Lord, I'll go home. But if not, you know, you have this guy call me. So the psychiatrist called me and set up a meeting to come back to Lititz. And his office building was 30 steps away from where I stood the day before with his victim. And we got together and had dinner and talked for a long time. This is a man that's been really broken by the brotherhood. They really, you know, ran circles around him. The real multiple, she's definitely a real multiple. They were real memories. But her handlers behind the scenes got a hold of her. And denial programming kicked in, and they sued him. They've got $300,000 out of this so far. And he's pretty broken, and we're ministering to him. I just called yesterday his home, and we're going to go back there. And now we've really targeted Lancaster and Lititz and all that area for some for crusade stuff and seminar stuff.
What is going on there? Why is this such a center for this type of activity? Again, this seems like the kind of scenic, peaceful little place that we all want to go when we retire. Nothing but farms and peaceful, soft-spoken people.
Right. And it is. It's beautiful, and that's what really broke my heart concerning just praying for the heartland in that sense and praying, for the history of American revivals that came through that area. Because there's been such a setup of the Satanic Underground and it's manifesting, Derek and Sharon, to the degree that the Satanic presence and power manifests more and more bizarre, chaotic, violence, anarchy, all these kind of things begin to really show up. There are so many victims. They actually, when I was at another meeting, they had some psychologists and counselors and so forth come in and meet with me to talk with me while I was there on the edge of Lancaster. And they were working with some, multiples that were still intact and doing some warfare stuff against them. And they was a really great meeting. But one of the ladies told me about a building in Lancaster where, like, ritual dates. They literally allow multiples to come there and stay there, locked in all night so nobody can get out and be triggered out and nobody can get in and get after them. There are so many of these victims in that area. In the prison where the psychiatrist was at, in the prison right there in Lancaster, I got a picture of that. And just in the downtown area by myself, the prayer mapping I did, there is just an ominous, dark, underground presence. And so it's targeted. We're going back. And I'm really praying not only for the uncovering of stuff, but they need a massive spiritual strike from heaven, and they need a great turning to the Lord there. I think it's because they've been just having the hidden underground stuff for so long, but now it's coming up all over. But there, it's really shown its head.
You know, we did some research on Loyola right after the story of Mr. Wise came out. About that family's unfortunate. Gosh, he just, what did he take out? Six people?
Six people. Yeah.
That whole story has so many things, so many aspects to it that I find really, that they're just not explaining everything. But when I did the research on Loyola, I discovered that up until just a few years ago, it was the center of the Aryan Nations.
Right.
Yeah, right. Wow. There in Loyola, the same town that the Wise family was.
And so you see a connection there with the Aryan stuff, the old Nazi stuff, the hate, and there's some of the core. That's even part of the core of evil. If you look at even their websites, Tom Wedge once had the largest data bank down in Columbus or Worthington area of all the Invisible Kingdom stuff going on. And out of Pennsylvania, the girl that was from Fort Bragg, that was one of the most highly trained people I've ever met, really, she showed me her pictures that she had in conjunction with, the grand, grand poobahs and masters and whatever they're called, where there's they talked about an alliance, not that they were exactly Satanists, but since they had the same kind of Aryan alliance, she probably showed us 50 pictures of being at massive meetings, bonfires, so forth, throughout Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Indiana.
Most Americans would think we are crazy.
That's a good point. And not just the amazing Randy. When you hear this kind of talk, you think these people are obviously seeing shadows and seeing things that aren't there. You talk about the hidden underground, Russ. What do you mean when you use that phrase?
Well, again, 2 Thessalonians 2, the secret power of lawlessness, the idea of the Greek word secret there literally means that. It's so hidden. The satanic work is so deeply hidden. Jesus talked about in the parables that the evil one comes during the night to create the tares. So there's a lot of, prior to the rise of Antichrist, there is such a level of secrecy to the agenda and the plan that biblically speaking, it's not going to just emerge, you know, like a frog in hot water, you know, being boiled in water. It's, there's a sense of that as far as the deception, seduction going on. But eventually, this bubbling up, and this is what's going to be seen and felt more and more, even by the by Christendom right now, is this sense of deeper sense of ominous anarchy, chaotic violence. And, you know, when we hear the stories, it's one thing, but we've always wanted to do for 20-some years, we'll go drive to the places, look up the people, look up the places, you know, and dig into it because we wanted to verify whether this is real. So those that just kind of, like, throw this out the window to say, oh, this is crazy stuff, no, there is so much verifiable, you know, information, places, you know, that there, it's just, there's too much. And more education, exposure. But this is what Hitler counted on concerning the, you know, Dachau and the camps, that it would be so preposterous nobody would believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it. They were doing it right underneath the German noses and everybody else. They were just literally sacrificing hundreds of thousands of people, you know, every week.
We've talked with Peter Lavenda, the author of Unholy Alliance, which documented the occult underpinnings of Nazi theology. And he makes the case that the Nazi Party, National Socialist Party, was really a cult, not a political party.
I agree 100%.
Do you see
a connection? Because the ideology, if you look into the ideology, because everybody's ideology comes from somewhere. And the demonic teaching from the Akashic records, from Madame Blavatsky, the whole belief in so many of their scientists, psychologists, their teachers, so many of these upper level people. Just do a study on all the people that were connected to Hitler, not just even Himmler and those guys, but they were so committed to this Aryan race issue that was completely occultic. So deep was it that I still believe that it involves the idea of the blood of the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
To gain powers and to make a Superman.
And, of course, Lavenda and others, in particular, there's another radio host that we've mentioned from time to time, Dave Emery, who deals with the logistical part of it, not the theological part of it, but has documented how it basically did not end at 1945. It was spread to the world, North and South America especially, after World War II.
You know, you just said something that I think is really, really interesting. You said that the Nazi occultism centered, you believe, on the blood of the Nephilim?
Right. Ultimately, yeah.
Ultimately. You know, I want you to expand on that, but sadly, we're running out of time for today. So if you can just tell us a little bit more about it to tease everybody for tomorrow. Okay, we'll give you 2 minutes.
Sure. In occultism, again, when Satan's trying to get through, a lot of this history goes back to the Nephilim. Satan wants to know how to get through in the deepest way. It's connected to the human blood, that's intertwined with demonic presence, to heighten humanity but control humanity and manifest the demonic side.
Well, folks, you're going to have to sit on that, do a little research, do some more research. If you're just listening to the show, go back and look at those stories that we're talking about regarding Lititz and Loyola, Pennsylvania. And maybe even if you have a dusty copy of Unholy Alliance, you know, get that out, dust it off, and maybe do a little reading tonight. Because tomorrow we're going to finish up this discussion of the Nephilim and explore even further with Russ Dizdar.
There is a man who requires more courage when he goes to work in the morning than I want to have.
Oh, gosh. He must drink a cup every day. Decaf is what I would have to take. The decaf courage.
We'll continue our interview with Russ Dizdar tomorrow, and we will get into the Black Awakening as we get toward the third part of the interview, which is what he sees coming. He gets information during these encounters with the multiples, and from what he has learned, a picture that is pretty grim emerges.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really any different from the picture that we see foretold in the Bible.
No.
And information is power. Knowledge is power. And we are arming ourselves and trying to do it scripturally, so that we're arming ourselves with what we know to be true.
You know, what I find really sad is that we are seeing glimpses of this Black Awakening. The story that just came out of Canada about a week ago, Jeremy Steinke and his mm-hmm. girlfriend, how he, you know, 23-year-old young man, 12-year-old young lady, met on a vampire chat site.
Mm-hmm.
both into goth, but we're not talking about just wearing cool clothes that they think, you know, impress their friends or make them look original.
No.
I'll go over to the mall and I'll buy some original clothes. No, these are kids that are really messed up, and he just decided to kill her family because she wanted him to.
Yeah, allegedly.
Because they would, well, this is exactly, this is allegedly. Allegedly, she said, and this is not allegedly, he wrote that she said this on his website, that her parents, her family, said that he could no longer see her, or she could no longer see him. So he essentially came out and said that he planned on taking care of them. And the way he put it is very dark. We may put the I've saved those websites. I don't know if they've been taken off yet, but I grabbed them and I archived the pages on my desktop. Now, oh, suddenly my computer's been hacked.
It's levitating.
There was that white panel van that went by earlier today. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. But anyway, there are glimpses of it, and they are just really frightening. And if you can imagine that sort of scenario taking place all over the world at the same time.
Yeah, it is a, it's a culture that we don't see much of, you know, except little glimpses here and there. And, what Russ Dizdar is seeing is that there will be in fact, that many of them don't look the way we envision people who are in the goth culture to look. But the Black Awakening, as he describes it, is... Well, I'll use this analogy again, like demonic Manchurian candidates all being triggered at one time.
Yeah. You know, there's a movie that I would recommend seeing. It's actually a comedy. And you may not think of this movie when you think of Black Awakening and such dark topics, but Ghostbusters is about a being, a supernatural being, coming back from the other side. And a gate opening up, and all the prisoners will be released, and wait for the sign when all prisoners will be released. There are a lot of clues in that movie that deal with subjects that are very similar to the abyss being opened up.
Huh. I would not have thought of that.
I saw the movie the other day. It's always been one of my favorite movies, and I saw it the other day. And, of course, the things you and I have been discussing over the last few years, it gives me a different perspective now. And so when I watched that movie this time, the dialogue really hit me.
Yeah. That's an interesting observation. Now I'm going to go back and watch it, too.
I know. We'll be digging that out later.
The Gozerian. Zool.
It is one of our favorite movies for comedy, but take a look at it again with fresh perspective. Well, we're running out of time. We're going to have part two of Russ Dizdar tomorrow.
In the meanwhile, we appreciate your comments, your feedback, your suggestions, questions for our guests that you might like answered regarding end time prophecy. Send those to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
By the way, we do have Tom Horn coming up, who's been nice enough to have us on a couple of times since he was last here. If you have something special you want us to ask Tom Horn, you need to let us know in the next few days because we're interviewing him next week.
Yeah, we're going to get him to talk about his new magazine, which is debuting.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of your favorite people that we've interviewed here will be contributing editors to Anomalous. We'll talk about that.
Also, the next few days we're going to be speaking with Ken Parsons and Rick Wiles. So if you have any questions for either of those gentlemen, please let us know. And I guess that's all for tonight. Until tomorrow, I'm Sharon Gilbert.
I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for listening to PID Radio.
Bye-bye, everybody. Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud.